Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Find with me John, the book of John. It's found in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. We're going to be in chapter 15 this morning, starting in verse 1. And I would encourage us, as always, to have God's Word open and in front of us as we read John chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 1. And just as a reminder for us here at Westview, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, that we are in the season of Lent. Lent is a season of really contemplation and reflection, a season in which we try to strip away all the excess of life, and we want to focus on Christ and his sacrifice for us, and the reason for that sacrifice, our own sinfulness and our own mortality. And we've said here at Westview that in the season of Lent, we are, during this whole 40-day journey of Lent, we are on Thursday of Holy Week, what we call Maundy Thursday. And we are with Jesus and his disciples here in the upper room. And this is where Jesus has spent the last few hours of his life on earth with his disciples, sharing with them all that he wants them, all that he needs for them to know. And here at Westview, we've been looking at what Jesus has said. We've been listening to it. We've been learning from these lessons from the upper room. And today we have another passage from the lips of Jesus before us. And before we read it and study it together, I would invite us to pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for the opportunity to study your word. We are grateful this morning for the Holy Spirit who is present here. And we are grateful, God, that as we read your word and as we study your word, your Holy Spirit will be moving and active in each one of our hearts. We pray that the Spirit would lay upon us all that we need to say and all that we need to hear. And the Holy Spirit would then fill us with boldness and courage to live according to the word's truth. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Listen with me to these words from the book that we love. I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If anyone remains in me and I in you, they will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, they are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself as my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, because what I have learned from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Amen. Oh, the deep, sacrificial love of Jesus. On August 16, 1987, Northwest Flight 255 took off from Detroit Metropolitan Airport at 8:45. At 8:46, it crashed, killing all six crew members, 148 passengers, and two motorists on the ground. There was only one survivor, 4-year-old Cecilia Sashan, daughter of Michael and Paula Sachon, sister to David Sachon, all of whom died in the crash. Now, exact details, of course, cannot fully be known. But evidence suggests that at some point in that 60-second flight, sensing imminent danger, Paula Sachon, the mother, unbuckled her seatbelt, turned toward her daughter, and wrapped herself around her. And as the pilot's voice through the intercom yelled, "Brace, brace, brace," Paula used her body to shield her daughter from the impact and the fiery blaze to come. Sacrificial love. This is a rich passage with words and phrases and verses that are worthy of our attention this morning. So many insightful images that help us understand the person and work of Jesus Christ. But my friends, my heart's desire today is to guide us into the central message of this passage, to the central message of the entire Gospel of John, to the central message of the entire Christian story, and that's sacrificial love. Jesus says, "My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Honest question this morning. Do we understand fully the sacrificial love of Jesus? We talk about it. We sing about it. We read about it. We learn about it in Bible studies and small groups. But do we fully understand the sacrificial love of Jesus? That the eternal Son of God, who was with God in the beginning, left the perfect glories of heaven to take up residence on sin-scarred earth. That he who was faultless and holy and perfect took on the dust of the ground. And then after living the only unblemished life, he died. Died for sin. Not his own, but my sin. And your sin, and the sin of every person who has and who is and who will ever walk the face of this earth, taking on the weight and the burden of all of sinful humankind. And not just dying, but crucified, enduring the lashes of the whip, the blows of the baton, the searing pain as bits of glass and rock and bone tear into his flesh, ripping away the raw skin, leaving muscle and more exposed and vulnerable, awaiting the next vicious strike, a crown of thorns placed on his head, digging into his skull. And then upon his bleeding back, he carries the rugged timber cross up to the hill of Golgotha, where blunt nails are driven into his wrists and into his feet, striking his nerves and sending unimaginable and unbearable pain spiking through his nervous system. and then hoisted up onto a cross where he drowned above ground as blood filled his lungs. Friends, do we understand fully the sacrificial love of Jesus? Even after saying all of that, which is only telling a part of the story, maybe we still do not. Maybe it's not possible for us to fully understand, to fully grasp the sacrificial love of Jesus. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Friends, it's something we ought to know, at least in part, at least to the best of our abilities, because this is what Jesus calls us to. Listen again to his words. He says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Listen to that second part again. And especially thinking in light of what we just talked about, he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." How did Jesus love us? He loved us with a sacrificial love, where he laid down his life for you and for me. He gave up everything for us. Now, the curious thing this morning, as we read this passage and as we study these particular verses, is that we approach these verses with a very contemporary or modern day reading. And by that I mean, we look at these verses post-resurrection. That we read these verses through the lens of the death and crucifixion of Jesus. And so when we talk about sacrificial love as laying down one's life, we think of it a very literal way of Jesus laying down his life for us. That's a very good reading. But I'd love for you to consider with me this morning a moment, these disciples who are reclining here in this upper room. Think with me for a moment what they know in that moment. As they listen to Jesus speak these words, they have not yet witnessed the betrayal. They have not yet witnessed, they know nothing yet of the trial and the conviction. They do not have the images of the crucifixion imprinted upon their minds. Their eyes have not yet seen Jesus struggling to breathe on the cross. They do not know yet about his death and his burial. All of that is still to happen. And yet Jesus says to them, "Love each other as I have loved you." What I hope is that this adds to our understanding of sacrificial love, at least just a little bit. Friends, I pray that none of us will ever find ourselves in a situation where sacrificial love will be required like it was that day by Paul of Sashan. I pray that none of us would ever find ourselves actually having to give of our own life for another person. And I'm quite confident this morning that not at once will we ever be asked to die upon a cross for the sin of the world. That happened once and once for all. But friends, we are not asked by Jesus. We are not strongly encouraged by Jesus. We are not recommended by Jesus. We are not requested by Jesus. We are commanded by Jesus to love each other as Jesus has loved us, to lay down our lives, to love each other sacrificially. And so consider with me for a moment this morning how Jesus loved those disciples, how Jesus loved so many others in Scripture before, apart from, dying on the cross.
Well, we know that he accepted those disciples unconditionally. Remember, those disciples, they were fishermen and tax collectors. They were the non-prestigious. They were the loathed of society. And yet he called them to follow him. We know that Jesus extended grace to the lowly and to the despised. And in that day, that was the women and the children and the sick and the demon-possessed and the Samaritans. Jesus was patient with those disciples when they couldn't quite get the message straight. Jesus pushed those who thought they had it all together but were in danger of missing the mark. Jesus listened and entered into the grief of parents as they were losing their children. He taught the crowds who gathered from seashore to seashore, even when he himself was exhausted. Jesus comforted the oppressed. He challenged the rich to find true wealth, and he skillfully mastered the delicate balance of extending grace while proclaiming truth. All of this and so much more Jesus did in extending sacrificial love before he stepped anywhere close to the cross. All of this sacrificial love, all of this of Jesus giving of himself, laying down his life, setting himself aside, and loving one another. Friends, sacrificial love can be as simple and as profound for us. Sacrificial love can be when that phone rings and you check that caller ID, you know you do, and you say, oh, not again. Because all that person wants to do is vent, and I do not have the patience for it. And yet you take your finger and slide it across and say, hello? Sacrificial love is when we haven't had a night at home to ourselves in weeks. The calendar has been crammed full of work and activities and school appointments and all sorts of different things, and yet we know that person needs to get coffee. They need to talk. And so we make space in that calendar. Sacrificial love is when we see that child, that student, that classmate sitting by themselves at lunch table. Now, I know this year, at least in our school, you have assigned seats, so let's take it to the playground. We see that kid standing by themselves at the playground, and while we would like to play with our own friends, we go and play with a friend who is standing all by themselves, or we invite that friend to come and play with us. Sacrificial love is bringing a meal or two over to the neighbor down the street who, even though we've lived in the neighborhood for years, we really don't know that well, yet we know they just had a surgery, or they just had a baby, or they just lost a loved one, and so we bring them some food. Sacrificial love is not letting a brother or sister off the hook when we say the, hey, how you doing? And they say, oh, good. But we know things are not good, and so we push. Sacrificial love is accepting one another for who we are rather than the image that we have in our minds of who we think they should be. Sacrificial love is speaking out against injustices, even though it will prove to be unpopular and will cause others to be upset. Sacrificial love is what two wonderful women did for our family nearly 13 years ago. When Josiah, who is our oldest, when he was born, he was not fond of sleep. Naps, nighttime, didn't matter. Sleep was sort of his first swear word, we think. Now you add on top of that a severe case of acid reflux, and a digestive system that just wasn't always so happy. And you add on top of that that our family support system was 12 and 13 hours away, respectively. And you mix all of that together, and what you come up with are two exhausted, on-the-edge new parents. Miss Anne and Miss Liberty were two women from North Holland, the church I was serving at that time. And they came to our rescue. On different occasions, they came into our home in the evening, and they went upstairs, they took Josiah out of his room, out of his crib, and they brought him downstairs into the living room, and they stayed with him all night long so that we could sleep. That's sacrificial love. Now, I recognize that nothing that I've just shared as a way of illustration even remotely compares to what Paula Sachon did for her daughter. Not even remotely compares to what Jesus did for us on the cross. But friends, it is still sacrificial love. Sacrificial love is laying down our life for our friends. Sacrificial love is getting ourselves out of the way and putting the needs of others first. Sacrificial love is not looking just to our own interests, but pursuing the interests of others. Sacrificial love is setting aside our natural inclination for self-preservation and remembering that giving is living. Sacrificial love is declaring that we will not allow our differences to divide us, that we will not allow our political leanings to split us, but we will choose people over politics, and we will choose our unity in Christ over the differences we might have. Sacrificial love is speaking the truth in love. It's holding one another accountable to the ways of God. It's iron sharpening iron. Sacrificial love is selfless, not selfish. It's giving, not greedy. It's slow to anger, not flippant. Sacrificial love is just this. It is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's a way of life in which we who find our rest in Christ, we who know that our identity and our security is secure in Jesus Christ, sacrificial love is when we give up of ourselves for the betterment, for the best of another. And I know that can be hard. I know that it's not easy. I know that it can be painful. I know it can be costly. You know who else knows this? Jesus knows this. It's the core of who Jesus is. It's the core of what Jesus did. It's his sacrifice for us throughout his whole life and all the way to the cross. But frankly, friends, it's what Jesus expects of us as his followers. To those of us who bear his name, Christians. To those of us who say that we know him, that we love him, that we want to live our lives for him. This is what Jesus expects from us. Friends, there is no Christian life apart from the work of sacrificially loving one another. I read this quote just this past week. I'm going to throw it up on the screen so you can follow along. We'll go through this nice and slow. It's thick here. It says this, true religion. Now, I would substitute the word faith, but the context of this sentence was talking about a passage in James that was talking about true religion. So in my mind, I'm saying true faith. We'll just read it here. True religion apparently doesn't consist of monotonous participation in superficial pious activity. Let me just read that again. Get our minds around this. Let this sink in. True religion apparently doesn't consist of monotonous participation in superficial pious activity, surface level. Instead, it says this, true religion consists of just and consistent demonstrations of supernatural, selfless love. Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Friends, I will not downplay it and I will not deny it that it is hard, that it is not easy. This is hard work because you know what? Some people are hard to love. And there are some situations that requires a lot of extra effort. And sometimes we just don't feel like it, and we don't want to. And sometimes it's just that it is a sacrifice. And that's why Jesus' words at the beginning of this passage are so important for us. For us to bear the fruit of sacrificial love, we need to remain plugged into the source of love. Remain in me, Jesus says, and I will remain in you. When we remain in Jesus and when Jesus remains in us, it says that we will bear much fruit. And this will be fruit that will bring glory to the Father. It will be fruit that will last. It will be the fruit of sacrificial love. But Jesus is also very clear. He says, apart from him, we can do nothing. Right? He doesn't say you can just do a little bit. You can grind your teeth and bear out just a little bit. You can squeak something out. He says, nothing. That if we do not remain in him, we're going to be like a branch that is thrown away, that withers, that's thrown into the fire and is burned. Friends, to love sacrificially, to lay down our life for one another, to lay down our life in which we would give of ourselves for someone else. You know, we maybe can do that for a time. We maybe can do that for a day, and if we really bite down and with a lot of fortitude, we can maybe even do it for a season, but that's not what Jesus is calling us to. This is a way of life. This is a lifetime of setting aside ourselves for the love and for the care of one another, a lifetime of bearing fruit in the name of Jesus and bringing glory to God, and that requires us, friends, to find our rest in Christ. To remain in Jesus, for the branches to be connected to the vine, to remain in his love, that we receive his love, so that we might show ourselves as his disciples, bringing glory to the Father and sacrificially loving one another. Westview, may this be true of us, that we love each other. Amen. Pray with me, please. Lord, this morning the lyrics of a song come to my mind where it says, from the heights of heaven you step down to earth. Innocent perfection gave your life for us. We are amazed, we stand in awe. For we have been changed by the power of the cross. How great, how great, how great is your love for us. We are indeed in awe of the sacrificial love you have shown to us, you have given to us, Jesus. You lay down your life for us, the ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice. And as we have heard, your command today, for those of us who bear the name of Jesus, we are to love one another. We are to love each other as Jesus has loved us. And God, we recognize that this is a high and holy calling. We recognize that this is even a difficult task. And so we pray, let the Spirit fill us with boldness and courage so that we would not shy away, but we would unashamedly and unabashedly love one another. We would love our family. We would love our neighbors. We would love our classmates. We would love our coworkers. We would love those who look like us, and we would love those who do not look anything like us. That we would love those on the other side of the political aisle. That we would love even our enemies and those who have hurt us. That loving each other means extending love to everyone. God, would you fill us as we remain in the vine, would you fill us with your love so that we might love one another? And in our love for each other, God, we pray for each other. Though we might not be sick right now, we pray for those who are sick, facing illness, cancer, COVID, or another disease. Though we might not grieve right now, we pray for comfort for those who are experiencing loss this day, a loved one or a job or a relationship. Though we might be settled in our own life, we pray for those who are unsettled with school or work or wages or the future and so much more. Though we might not feel threatened right now, God, we pray for those who are facing persecution and injustices and unfair treatment and those who feel voiceless or those who feel they are without hope. Though we might today know the saving power of Jesus' name, we pray for those who do not yet know. And may it be through our love expressed in word and in deed that your grace, God, may be made known to all. God, we pray for one another and we pray for each other, and even this we recognize as an act of love. So hear our hearts today, Lord. Hear our prayers, those that are spoken, those that are left unspoken in this moment. Hear our longings, hear our desires. May your love be manifested in us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.